May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for the Lord has done marvelous things. God's right hand and holy arm have gotten the victory. The Lord has declared victory and has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. The Lord has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth has seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praise. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the ruler, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, who comes to judge the earth. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our scripture, our second scripture reading today is from the Gospels, from Luke in chapter 12. It continues with Jesus' teaching about what matters in life and about wealth. I invite you to listen for the word of God. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night, your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your love. We pray in your holy name. Amen. When we picked the music for this morning, Andrew, I wasn't aware of how the breath of prayer for... Are we okay? Prayer for the breath of wind to blow through us would feel on this blustery morning. I opened my door this morning and was surprised, startled by a change, a shift in the weather. In Southern California, we have a narrower window for the shift of weather that we experience, but today was a surprise for me after days of warmth and clear skies. The rains we had recently have made it a beautiful time to look out over Los Angeles, to see the mountains and even snow in the distance, to see the beauty of this world around us. I've been thinking about what a gift it is to be alive, to be a part of this world. Our scripture passage today, this parable that Jesus tells and the interaction he has with a man seeking for his help as an arbitrator of inheritance and justice. In this passage for today, Jesus invites us to think soberly about what we do with who we are while we're alive. He invites us in this passage, and as Luke frames it in his gospel, we're invited to think about what abundance we enjoy, how we experience it in this life, and what meaning it has over how we identify ourselves. We are in the middle of three Sundays as a part of a series we're calling Live Generously. It's the time of year where we're inviting you as the congregation to consider making a commitment of financial giving to the church for the next year. It's also a time of year where we think about what it means to use all of who we are and what we have as an expression of our faith. And this morning's scripture passage is a clear teaching, inviting us to think differently about what we have and how it makes it who we are. Now, those of you who are here every Sunday will remember that this scripture passage came up in the end of July this year. I was talking with Dr. Carter and suggesting that we might give a free pass to anyone who could remember the scripture and the sermon. You're welcome to check out and draw pictures or do whatever you want. But I have more to say about this text. It's a text that I find to be rich in invitation. In this parable that Jesus tells, a rich fool, we're told, is farming some land that produces abundantly, far more harvest than this farmer can use. And so his answer is to tear down his barns and build bigger ones to store and hold this grain. And after he's constructed the bigger barns and has enough grain stored up so that he feels secure, it says that he then chooses to eat, drink, and be merry, to rest and enjoy life. And it's then, at that very moment, that his life ends. In this parable, it's not so much the judgment of an angry God against the dangers of greed that's experienced. Instead, I hear in this parable a reminder about how life is fragile and short. An invitation, then, not only to resist greed, but also to savor what is good. Rest does not have to wait until we've got it all figured out and our big barns are already built and plenty is stored away. We're invited to be people who eat and drink and share in good company, even here and now. In the meantime, amidst uncertainty, while we wonder about what lies ahead, we're invited even here and now to shape our lives around a rhythm of work and rest. In the scripture, we're invited to share a Sabbath practice that invites us in the 7 days of the week to build rest and restraint into our very way of being. This passage, then, is an invitation to do all that, which I should say, as a roundabout way, is also an invitation to come to church next Sunday. We're celebrating a community meal occasioned by Thanksgiving. We'll have one combined worship service with both Loft and Sanctuary congregations here in this space at 10 a.m., so a little later than usual for us, and afterwards a community meal on the courtyard. Hopefully it won't be quite as breezy next Sunday, but it will be good to share, to eat and drink and be merry, to enjoy the goodness of community here in the midst of life, in the midst of all that's going on. So I hope this is my sidebar announcement. There's an invitation in the gospel to be people who take the time, who bother to savor and delight, to enjoy and to share, to live together in community. And as I read this text again this week, I was struck by the very beginning of this section that the lectionary puts together as one passage. As a man comes to Jesus and asks for help dividing his inheritance. I'd not previously pondered the heart of this question, but as I read it today, I wondered if there's something important in the question that's asked about a dividing up of the land. We live in a moment of awareness of deep divides. In our nation, moving through this week after elections on Tuesday and through the long period of time as we await final results of who will be mayor of our city, who will have control of Congress in our nation, we're aware of division within our communities. And at the same time this week, leaders from around the world are gathering in Egypt as part of a climate conference, COP27, where as a globe we are attempting to figure out how to move forward, to exist together on Earth in the face of devastating climate change. We're aware of the different perspectives that come from separate nations, but a need to see the challenges, the issues, the injustice, and the struggle that's before us. We need to see that as a whole, not merely as separate nations or across partisan divides. I wonder if the very beginning of this passage might be flagging something to us, inviting us to think about the problem of always dividing, the problem of seeing our land as divisible, our possessions as ones that we can separate out, that we can reduce to a balance sheet and divide equitably amongst people. There is at the heart of this text an invitation to see who we are and what we have differently, not as resources that can be separated as if they belonged to one or another of us apart from one another. Perhaps there is in this text an invitation to see what we have as we belong to a whole. Our contemporary economic system is built on ideas of scarcity and possession, on a model of consumerism that encourages us as individuals to amass more, to improve our quality of life, to improve our status, to show that we are winning. Our system encourages us to buy more and consume more, to take more, as if to improve our lives. But this model, this set of assumptions of the goals of our system are problematic because it reduces us to individuals separated from our common whole, and problematic because it imagines an infinite supply of resources that could point us toward an unbounded and unlimited growth. As we face the challenges that are before us, we have to think differently about who we are and how we belong together, seeing what we have less as possessions to be owned and controlled by individuals, and more as a set of resources to help us come to a kind of abundant life that means a flourishing of life for all, not just for some. We need economic models that help us understand our interdependence and our mutuality, our belonging together in the whole. Models that make our goal less about building bigger storehouses to hold what we've accumulated, and instead help us share the abundance of what's here in a way that makes space for life for all. This particular parable, as of this rich fool, Jesus in Luke's gospel chooses the words, not me, this rich fool who, having received the gift of an abundant harvest from earth, decides to build bigger barns to hold it. But he stores his wealth as grain, which is unlike traditional ways of holding our money, is actually valuable to the world. You can eat this money, right? You can eat this grain. And if we read the Gospels, we know from John's Gospel that this grain can even become for us a symbol of death and resurrection, because you can plant a grain and the husk of its seed will break open and a root will go down and a sprout will come up and it will grow and it will bear more grain. In this parable, the wealth that this rich fool is holding on to isn't just numbers on a spreadsheet. It's actual life-giving power to feed people and to grow more. And in this parable, that absurd amount of grain is kept hidden in a barn for some future uncertainty. We know from this parable of the dead end of this story, the literal dead end of this rich fool's life, where he does not get to enjoy and to savor the gift of that abundance. As we read it today, we're invited to rethink what it is that we have and how we hold it, to remember a call, an invitation, a warm invite to share in the good stuff of life. I wonder if you've ever had anything that you had absurdly more of than you could use. More things than you could possibly go through in your life. I'm certainly guilty of such accumulation. But my most vivid reminder of absurdly more than I could possibly use came in a lesson I experienced while traveling, backpacking through West Africa with two friends along the coast in Benin. I've told you the story before. A man passing by gave us not only a ride, but came back to give us 12 coconuts in their husk, which is more coconuts than any three backpacking college students could ever possibly consume. In fact, 12 coconuts is problematic if you're backpacking because they occupy quite a volume. I would have had to tear down my backpack and build a bigger backpack to hold these as my own. It was an unexpected gift that I wasn't asking for, more than I could possibly use. I would get sick if I ate all of that coconut. And so it set before me a challenge of how to redistribute the 12 coconuts amongst strangers in a strange place. For the most part, the excesses that I live with in this world aren't quite as vivid, as absurd, or as time-sensitive. But we have before us always invitations to take what we have, to notice what it might give, and to use it for the sake of the well-being of the whole. There's nothing more fun, more delightful, more life-giving than taking something that you have and giving it to someone who needs it or can use it or will savor or enjoy it. There is such gift in sharing, in giving, in offering. And gift also in receiving. When others have something to give us that we need or hadn't a need we hadn't known how to name, something that we can enjoy. It's a gift that connects us together. Giving and receiving knits us together as a community of the whole. It helps us belong to and with each other. It reminds us that all of us stand as recipients of grace beyond ourselves, and all of us have the capacity to give a thing for the well-being of others. And so this fall, this season of stewardship in the life of the church, these weeks before the holiday of Thanksgiving, as we're taking assessment of what we have to be grateful for, I invite you to consider not only what you have, but also what you have to give, what you have to offer and to share for the well-being of others, what's keeping you bound more than it's setting you free as you try to hold on to it. And I invite you to say no to the temptations of a world that barrages us with messages that if we buy more or accumulate more or have more, we'll be happier or more whole or will look more impressive. There's a radical idea knit into this parable and this gospel passage, an invitation to take what we have and to let it be enough. I've been influenced and informed by the theology of Sally McFaig, who died just a few years ago. She taught theology at Vanderbilt University for much of her career and wrote about our economic and ecological call in the gospel. Her book, Life Abundant, is one of my favorite theological works. She writes it to North American middle-class Christians and includes in this telling of the good news of the gospel story an invitation to be people who restrain ourselves, who restrict our desires to accumulate or consume more, who freely choose to let our lifestyles be shaped by the self-giving example of Jesus Christ. She calls it a cruciform way of living, a cross-like way of living that says, this is enough, I will resist, I will not take more. She contends that we North American Christians need to live that sort of a life of enough of restraint in order to enable the possibility of flourishing of life for all. And when we think about meeting the challenges of homelessness in our own community and climate change on our interconnected, complicated globe, both invite us to be people who make that choice, who choose to be happy with what we have, the things that we cannot possess alone, the things that are meant to be shared with the whole of community. The invitation of the gospel is to be people who belong with and for each other, who find flourishing in community, not in isolation, who find delight in offering delight to others, who find belonging in receiving gifts from others, whose best selves come most alive when we honor that we stand on the shoulders of those who've come before us, and a primary goal of our lives is to lift up those who will come after us. The gospel invites us to be people of that kind of self-giving love, who reprioritize and redefine abundance, not in the amounts we can fit in our barns or storage containers or basements or attics or closets, but define abundance in the things that are shared, the things that have no limits, the things that grow when they're exchanged, like love and forgiveness and mercy. May you receive that gift abundantly today, knowing your own belonging, knowing that you are a recipient of a love that goes beyond the boundaries of what we can understand. And may that love change you in such a way that you want to above all, most of all, through all, offer of yourself for the well-being of others, who think about what you have and what you do not have as invitations to things that give life and that give life abundant to all creation. May we be a part of that work. Amen.